What's on my mind today is the faithfulness of God towards His people. The faithfulness of God towards His people. And His faithfulness of God towards Israel, His earthly people. And really what I'd like to share with you tonight is just what I've enjoyed about the difference between the church and Israel. And it seems like that is very much lost today in many circles. So let's read Daniel 9 and verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications and commandment, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, here's really what I want to speak about. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. This is very important. Thy people and thy holy city. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 62. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, that's the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So that should suffice. What I'm thinking tonight of, and what I've really enjoyed the last year specifically, is God's faithfulness towards his people Israel, his earthly people, and towards us, the church. And now, I'm not sure if you're aware, but these days there's a teaching, very prominent actually, maybe not in our circles, but it is a teaching going around that is the replacement theology, that is saying that the church replaced Israel, that we are the spiritual Israel, and we have taken over for Israel. And all the promises that God has towards his people Israel are now transferred over to the church. And the literal Israel, the nation, is no longer, according to this theology, is no longer, they're not really God's people. But really, according to this portion here in Daniel, which is one of my favorites, here in Daniel 9, verse 24, God gives a very clear prophetic picture of the future of the children of Israel. And if you recognize earlier, the children of Israel have always been, in Scripture, they are God's earthly people. We think of in Deuteronomy, the Lord says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." So God has chosen the nation of Israel to be a special people. Because the next verse says, "I have chosen you because I have loved you." So he just loved them because he loved them. There's not necessarily a reason, but God chose them because he loved them. So they're God's earthly people, and he has chosen them as a nation. But so it is with the church. But the church is God's heavenly people. And I know I'm sure we're obviously familiar with all of this, but it's just good to remind ourselves of these things. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings," where? in heavenly places in Christ. So when it comes to us as the church, we are God's heavenly people, and we're blessed spiritually in heaven. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But what do you say to the children of Israel? There is earthly people that he has loved. So we can see, but both of them are chosen by God. They are God's chosen earthly people, and we are God's chosen heavenly people. And we find, of course, with this teaching going around, it is very much a teaching of Reformed doctrine. And of course, that teaching specifically, we would reject, of course. But there's some things that we do agree. And here in Ephesians 1, we would agree that the chosen is corporate, but it's also individuals. It's individuals that are chosen into the body of Christ. So here we have God's earthly people and God's heavenly people. So important to have that distinction. And that distinction seems to have been lost in these days. And that is why when people ask us, what is your best argument for the pre-tribulation rapture? And these days, many people are now believing in the post-tribulation rapture, that the church will be raptured after the tribulation. And it's very much in line with this teaching that the church has replaced Israel. And because the church has replaced Israel, everything that was promised towards Israel, even the judgments, the church would go through that as well. So now that's why you can see why, if they're not distinct, then obviously the church will go through the tribulation and it will be raptured at the end. But we do not believe that. We believe that they are distinct. And here in Daniel 70 weeks, he says there, we'll just break in. So Daniel here has been, so also one other thing I want to share that I've really enjoyed. The year when this prophecy is given, Daniel knew his scriptures, and he recognized, read earlier in the chapter, that the 70 weeks of Jeremiah, that Jeremiah had promised that they will be in captivity, the 70 weeks is now done. So he fasted and prayed, and he confessed the sins of his own sins and the sins of the people. And now, because of that, another prophecy comes. On the same time when this prophecy ended, here comes another prophecy, and this is the final prophecy in relation to the church, in relation to Israel, the final prophecy. And if you go back to the history of the beginning of when the nation of Israel was in Abraham, when God gave the promise to Abraham of his seed, to Abraham, from that time on, there has been prophetic years and been predicted and determined, prophesied for the earthly people of Israel, because they're God's earthly people. That's why prophecy is towards them, not necessarily towards the church. Even though we can appreciate it as the church, it is specifically towards the children of Israel, prophecy, because prophecy is relation to the earth, and they are God's earthly people. That's why primarily prophecy in the scripture is towards the children of Israel. That's why it gives a specific 70 weeks. And to us, we wait for the imminent return of Christ. There is no specific time set for the church. There is no specific time. That's why it could be at any moment. It is our blessed hope that Christ will come, and then the dispensation of the church will be done. But here we'll see and we'll find the two different dispensations here in this prophecy of Daniel 9. So here in Daniel 9, verse 24, it says this: 70 weeks are determined upon, now it's speaking to Daniel, upon thy people, so that's the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city, that is Jerusalem. So there's a specific prophecy given of 70 weeks towards the Jewish people and towards Jerusalem. So that is what this prophecy is specific for. And what is 70 weeks? Well, here it's speaking, this is more of a Jewish term. If you go back to when Laban and when Jacob was working for Laban, you will find that he, for 1 week, it speaks of a week, how he would work for Laban for a week for Rachel and so on. He had to work for another week, 2 weeks, which was 14 years. So when it speaks here of weeks, it speaks of 1 week is 7 years. So this might be confusing, but this is the way it's speaking about. 1 week is 7 years. So 70 weeks is 7 times 7, which is 490 years. But these 490 years are not the years that we're used to, Gentile years. They're more Jewish years, according to their calendar, which is 360 days a year, not 365 days. And I read this book, and I'm sure many of you have here, by Sir Robert Anderson, a wonderful book about all of this. And he puts these timelines together of when this prophecy started. So when this prophecy started here, it says these 490 years are determined upon the Jewish people and upon Jerusalem to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. So you can see here, God wants to bring a complete end of sin. He wants to bring what started in the Garden of Eden, God now wants to bring completely to an end. It started way back in Genesis 3. And here we find it, God at the very end, it says to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. So he's really wanting to bring sin to a complete end. But when will this happen? And it says, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So here he's speaking of Christ's manifestation on the earth. When Christ is going to come back and set up his earthly kingdom, and he will reign for 1,000 years. And that's where he will bring in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, there's no more prophecy needed. It's going to be sealed up. And this will be the complete, this is what God is looking for, is this time. And to anoint the most holy, that is Christ, to anoint Christ as king. So this is 70, so he's saying to them, there's 490 years, to make it plain for us, that is predicted for Israel's future. This is what's going to happen to Israel and Jerusalem. It's 490 Jewish years until from the time when he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So there's going to be a commandment given, and this is attested by history, and even in Nehemiah 2, there's 4 commandments given that were similar to this one, but there's only one that truly fulfills this one. And that was by the king Artaxerxes in 445 BC. And he made a commandment that, so before that they were allowed to go back to fix the temple and to work on the temple of God. But according to Nehemiah 2, remember when Nehemiah prayed and he answered the king. He was sad in the king's presence. And then the king said, why are you sad in my presence? He was a little bit offended. And Nehemiah told him, and he says, and he prayed to the Lord and he answered the king. And he wanted to go back and rebuild the city and the walls, not just the temple. And that was the one, that was the command when this prophecy started. And Nehemiah, when he put the pen to the paper, and he gave them the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. From that day on, that was 400, and we're going to read here further. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, so there's a commandment given, until the Messiah, the Prince. So this is Christ's royal title here. Prince is a royal title. It is speaking of him coming, and we'll find that in the New Testament. Christ comes into Jerusalem, riding, and he says, Hosanna in the highest. This is the day that this is speaking of. It says here, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, which is 49 years, and 62 weeks, which is another 62 weeks. So that's 69 weeks. Which is 483 years. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So it's saying here that from that commandment, 483 years later, the Messiah, as a royal title, the Prince, is going to come into Jerusalem and present himself. And we find that there was a few days before the cross, when he went into Jerusalem and presented himself, and they accepted him in a way. And they said, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So that was the time that they were speaking of here. But then it says this, and after 62 weeks, so after the 62 weeks, so the first 49 weeks was how long it took for them to build the city and the walls. It took 49 years. But then from that time on, there was another 62 weeks. And then it says this, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So that's when. So this is when Christ is going to die, but not for himself. This could also be meant that it's not going to. He's not going to have anything that would show forth that he is actually the king. He's not going to have anything that's going to show forth this. He's going to be cut off out of the land of the living. And it says this here, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So now, of course, this is maybe getting complicated, but it's really saying the people of the prince, and this is really why this is a proof text that the future Antichrist, or the first beast, or the one that's going to sit down in the temple and proclaim himself to be God, it shows here, according to this text and according to history, that that man is going to be a Roman. He's going to become, probably come out of Rome. Because it says this here, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So what this is speaking of is AD 70, about 37 years, if I'm not mistaken, after Christ died, there was a man named Titus, a Roman, and he came in and he destroyed Jerusalem. And the temple was taken apart brick by brick. And it was actually, it says here, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. It was like laid flat like a flood. And the whole city was destroyed. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then it says this, and he, now speaking of the prince, the little prince, now he that shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So you can see 69 weeks. It says 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. In verse 24, it says 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon Israel. So we can see that there's one more week left, or 7 years. But what happened between the 69th week and the 70th week? What happened between the 483 years when Messiah was cut off, when he was killed or destroyed by people? And then what happened now in between this time when it's going to resume? There's one more week clearly left here. 69 weeks, or at 483 years, Messiah was cut off. But now there's one more week left, determined for the children of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. One more week left, 7 years. Now clearly we can see that there is a dispensation in there. There's a time of 2,000 plus years. And to me personally, I would say that this is the strongest argument, according to the scriptures, for the pre-tribulation rapture. That this dispensational view, that God laid aside Israel according to Romans 11, and now until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When we think of this here, but God has not cast off his people Israel. He is faithful towards his people. He has not laid him aside forever. All the promises of the earthly kingdom where the Jewish people are going to come into, and they're going to be blessed mightily, the earthly people of Israel, they will all be fulfilled. Because if they are not fulfilled, then how can we be sure in what we believe in? How can we be sure that God is going to be true to us? And we, of course, believe that he will be. And so it is with literal Israel. God has one more week left for them. But now we have the church. This body of Christ, because the Jewish people rejected the Messiah, they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Now God laid them aside, and now we have come in to the blessing of the Messiah. And now there's this new entity being made called the church, and that is born, that is started there in at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt all the believers. And from that time on, what constitutes the church? It is all those that have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And as we recognize in the Old Testament, that was not the case. The Spirit of God would never come inside of a person, dwell there always, forever. This is a New Testament truth, and it is only for the church. This dispensation of the church, 2,000 plus years. But how can this, when will this happen? When will this be resumed? Well, I think we can see from 2 Thessalonians that is that which restraineth, when that which restraineth shall be taken out of the way, then shall that wicked one be revealed. So it is when that which restraineth, and I believe, and I think this is true, that which restraineth is the church. It is the Spirit of God indwelling the believers. And when that is taken out of the way, then this will continue. When this dispensation, one more week, 7 more years, will continue. And now God's judgments are going to fall upon the earth. And it says this, and he that is the little prince, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, if you put all these together with revelations, all the prophecies, even when Jesus speaks in Matthew, when Daniel spoke of the abomination of desolation which shall sit in the temple, which Daniel spoke of, this is what Christ is speaking of, is this promise here, of this prophecy. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So the Antichrist, when the church is raptured, he will make a covenant, or he will make a contract with Israel for 1 week, for 7 years. And maybe protecting them from the invaders coming around. They'll be under a lot of attack. The whole world, you can feel it even now, how the whole world is, there's anti-Semitism. The whole world is going against Israel. But this Antichrist will pretend to be their friend and pretend to protect them. And he will confirm a covenant with them for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the middle of the week, at the 3.5 point, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So he will cause the sacrifice. And it's very interesting how when we speak of the tribulation, there's obviously the tribulation, which is 7 years, but then there's the great tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years. But in the whole 7 years, it is very Jewish in character. You find it in when Jesus speaks of about the Sabbath. Pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. So he speaks of a very Jewish language. When you put all the timing together in Revelations, for example, it says 42 months. It says 1,260 days. It says 3.5 years. But if you put it all together, that's 360 days a year if you divide it. So it's very Jewish in its character. It talks about the temple. Here it talks about sacrifices. The Jewish system will go right back to the Old Testament and how they will continue. There's a temple there. They will continue to sacrifice again. And they will be right back to the Old Testament ways. They will sacrifice animals. Imagine, they're going to sacrifice animals there in Jerusalem. But it says this, but the Antichrist at the 3.5 mark, he's going to stop them from doing all of this, and he is going to go into the temple, and it will be proclaimed that he is God, according to 2 Thessalonians 2. He will tell the whole world that he is God. And of course, my time is done, but there's so much to this. But there will be another beast, according to Revelation 13, that will come up, and he will point everybody to this first beast, and he will tell the whole world to worship him. And just to clarify to us, to understand that this would be at the 3.5 point mark. So when the mark of the beast is going to come, I think it's very important for us to understand in the times that we live in, that when the mark of the beast is going to come, it will be in the middle of the tribulation, not at the start. It will not be at the end. It will be in the very middle when the second beast is going to cause the whole world to worship the first beast, and he will cause them to put a mark, whoever put a mark in your forehead, in your hand, right hand. So that is something for us to understand. It's not, when we see it happening right now, things that sound very interesting, we can understand that sound doctrine teaches us this. The timelines are very important. It says this, the middle of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. So he shall stop the sacrifices, and for overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So that's really what I just want to share tonight, something that I've really enjoyed, something we can bring to remembrance as these doctrines come in, and they try to say that we have replaced Israel, that the church has somehow been made the spiritual Israel, and all the promises that are towards Israel are now towards the church. We want to set that clear for sure, and to understand that these things are very important. We understand the prophetic timelines, why we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, why we believe in a dispensation. There's clearly a timeline in between when Messiah was cut off, but why is it cut off at 69 weeks or at 483 years? But yet there's another 7 years left, clearly. So what happens in between there? Well, there's a period of the church. So when a blessed hope is going to happen, when he's going to come and take us out of the way, and this body of Christ is going to meet the head in heaven, and then it will continue just like it was before. The church was not there before in the 483 years. It will not be there in the last year, because God deals with one dispensation at a time. So really, that is something what I want to encourage us with, that God is faithful, like he was to his people Israel. He is faithful to us. We can appreciate. So we can know this, according to the book of Sir Robert Anderson, I really enjoyed it. He puts the timing together from when this was signed by the King Artaxerxes in 445 BC till Christ came in and presented himself as king on a donkey. That day, it was literally 483 Jewish years to the day when Christ did that. It was to the day. But we're not surprised at that, obviously. But we appreciate the accuracy of prophecy, the accuracy of God's timelines and his prophetic